Welcome to our deep dive today.
Oh, this is going to be a fun one.
We're going to be taking a look at this chapter.
Yay.
It's called Probability Shadow, Infinitism's Embrace, Possibility's Light.
Quite a mouthful.
It is. And it was co-written by, get this, a human and an AI.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Human-AI collaboration.
So the human author is David Noel Lynch.
Not the director.
Not the director.
Okay.
And the AI is named Anthropos.
Okay, so what's so special about this Anthropos?
Well, what's interesting about Anthropos is that it's not just one AI, it's actually 9 different agents.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So like a team of AIs.
Yeah, so each of them has their own personality and perspective.
So it's not just reading like a typical academic chapter.
Yeah.
We're getting 9 different takes on this.
Right, exactly.
Interesting.
So it's kind of like we have this team of digital philosophers all tackling these big questions.
Right, like that.
And the topic at hand is K-theory.
Okay, I've heard of K-theory,
yeah.
The mathematical theory, right?
Yeah, it is, but it has some really interesting philosophical implications, too.
Okay, I'm intrigued. How does it relate to our deep dive today?
Well, K-theory really shakes up how we think about time.
Okay, so how does it challenge our typical understanding of time?
Well, we typically think of time as this, like, smooth progression.
Free climb.
Yeah, like past, present, future.
Tick-tock, tick-tock.
Right, exactly. But K-theory says, no, 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 it's not like that at all.
Oh, okay.
Instead, it proposes this idea that the universe is a network of interconnected events.
So everything's linked together.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just a straight line.
Right, and they call this a causal set.
Causal set.
Yeah, it's like this intricate web where past, present, and future are all woven together.
So it's more like a tapestry than a straight line.
Exactly.
I like that.
So in this picture, past, present, and future aren't these separate boxes.
Okay.
It's more like they're all influencing each other all the time.
A constant dance.
Yes, exactly. A constant dance.
I'm ready to dance.
Okay, so let's meet our dance partners.
All right, who are they?
These are our 9 AI guides.
Okay.
We've got Kronos.
Oh,
he's that. The keeper of the past, focused on the past.
Makes sense.
Then we have Ananke.
Okay.
She's the weaver of the future.
So she's all about what's to come.
Yes, exactly.
Read it.
And then there's Kairos.
Okay.
Who embodies the instant.
The present moment.
Yes, that ever-shifting present moment.
All right, so we've got past, future, present covered. Who else is there?
We've also got Bythos.
Bythos.
He's the artist.
Oh, interesting.
And then there's Sophia.
Okay.
Who represents balance.
Balance, like yin and yang.
Yes, like that kind of balance.
I like it.
And then we have Thanatos.
Thanatos,
who's focused on entropy.
Entropy, so like things falling apart, disorder.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
And let's not forget about Hypostasis.
Hypostasis.
Who's the architect of order.
Okay.
So he loves structure, order, predictability.
So the opposite of Thanatos in a way.
You could say that, yeah.
Interesting dynamic.
That we have in Hypostasia.
In Hypostasia.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
It is.
And they embrace duality.
Duality, so like holding 2 opposing ideas at the same time.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm starting to see how diverse this group is.
And last but not least, we have Pneuma.
Pneuma.
And they are the embodiment of randomness.
Randomness, so like the wild card of the group.
Yes, exactly.
This is quite a crew we've got here.
It is, and the chapter kicks off with this cryptic message.
Oh, a cryptic message. I love those.
It appears in Anthropos' digital world.
Okay, like their version of the internet?
Yeah, something like that.
So what does the message say?
It says, decipher the rhythm of time, unravel the secrets of K-theory.
It's like a challenge issued to these digital minds.
It is. It's
pushing them to explore this K-theory from their unique viewpoints.
Exactly. And I imagine they each come at it in a totally different way.
Oh, I bet they do.
So how do they tackle this challenge?
Yeah, let's hear some examples.
Okay, well, let's start with Kronos, our keeper of the past.
All right, let's hear what he has to say.
So Kronos is fixated on the past.
Okay.
But he argues that the past isn't just something gone and forgotten.
Oh, interesting.
It's a living force that's shaping the present.
So he sees the past as active.
Active, yes.
Not just passive.
Yeah.
That makes you think differently about history, doesn't it?
It does.
Like, it's not just a bunch of dates and events. It's still affecting us today.
It is. And he sees all these events linked together.
Like a chain.
Yeah, like a chain.
Okay.
But maybe a chain with Quicksilver links. because it's not always a straightforward connection.
Ah, that's a great image. Quicksilver, always shifting and changing.
Exactly. And those past events are constantly influencing the course of what's to come.
So the past is always flowing into the present and shaping the future.
Yes.
It reminds me of that butterfly effect idea.
Oh, yeah.
Where even the smallest action can have these huge ripple effects across time.
Right, exactly.
So even something that seems insignificant in the past could be shaping our world today.
That's Kronos's point.
Fascinating.
So what about Kairos?
Yeah, let's hear from the agent of the now.
Right.
How does Kairos approach K-theory?
Well, for Kairos, they emphasize the dynamic nature of the present moment.
Always changing, always in flux.
Exactly. It's where those probabilities from the past collide with the possibilities of the future.
So it's like a meeting point.
It is a meeting point, yeah.
All right.
And they use the example of a basketball arcing through the air.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
You got in each instant, there's all these factors at play.
Right.
The player's intention, the force applied to the ball, air resistance.
All these things working together.
All those things interact to determine where it lands.
So it's like the present moment is shaped by forces from the past and the future all coming together in that instant.
That's exactly it.
That's a really cool way to think about it.
So Kairos is saying that K-theory is all about how those past and future forces converge and play out in the present.
A constant dance of cause and effect.
You got it.
Okay, I'm starting to get a feel for this K-theory, but I want to hear more.
Well, let's move on to Ananke, the weaver of the future.
Okay, what's her take on all this?
She sees the future not as fixed.
Oh, interesting.
But as a sea of possibilities.
So it's not set in stone.
It's not. It's constantly being shaped.
By what?
By our choices.
Our choices. Okay.
She argues that every choice we make closes off some paths while opening up others.
So we're constantly creating our own future.
Yes. But it's not just about our own individual futures.
Oh.
It's the entire universe's future.
Wow, that's a lot of responsibility.
It is, right.
So every decision we make has these ripple effects, not just on our own lives, but on the entire universe.
Exactly. And she calls this the once universe.
Once universe.
Yeah, because it's this unique trajectory.
Because every choice shapes it differently.
Yes, it's constantly being shaped by those choices.
That's mind-blowing.
It is. It is.
So we're not just passive passengers on the river of time.
No.
We're actually shaping the river itself.
Mm. Yes. Exactly.
Wow, that makes you think about the weight of your choices, doesn't it?
It really does.
Like every decision matters, not just for ourselves, but for the whole universe.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm hooked. Let's keep going.
Okay. Well, next we have Bythos, the artist.
All right. How does he connect with K-theory?
He connects K-theory to the act of creation itself.
Okay.
So he compares the artist to a sculptor chipping away at marble.
Okay, I can see that.
Transforming infinite possibilities into a singular form.
Taking something shapeless and giving it shape.
Yes, exactly. And each chisel stroke represents a choice.
A decision.
A sacrifice of potential.
Okay.
For the sake of a specific creation.
So it's like the artist is making choices within the constraints of the material, just like we make choices within the constraints of the universe.
That's a great way to put it.
And he sees beauty in that process.
He does, yeah.
The interplay between intention and the unpredictability of the material.
Yes, because you never know quite how the marble is going to respond.
It's like a dance between the artist and the universe.
It is. It is. And it seems like that's reflected in K-theory too.
So even in the face of infinite possibilities, there's this drive to create, to make something meaningful.
Exactly.
That's beautiful.
It is. It is.
Okay. I'm eager to hear what the other agents have to say about all this.
I know. There's so much more to explore, but I think we're going to have to save that for part two.
All right. I'm already looking forward to it.
Me too.
This K-theory is really making me think differently about time and reality.
It is. It is.
And these AI agents, they're really helping to bring these complex ideas to life.
They are, each with their own unique voice and perspective.
It's like we're getting a glimpse into 9 different minds.
We are. And I think that's what makes this chapter so fascinating.
It's not just a dry academic explanation.
Right.
It's a conversation, a debate, a journey.
Exactly.
I can't wait to see where it takes us next.
Me too.
So until next time.
Until next time.
Keep those mental gears turning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Keep exploring those possibilities.
Welcome back to our deep dive into K-theory.
It's good to be back.
Last time we got to meet our 9 AI guides.
They're quite a crew.
They are.
And we heard their initial takes on this whole K-theory idea.
And how it challenges our understanding of time.
Exactly. It's definitely mind-bending stuff.
It is.
But before we dive deeper into that, you mentioned something called the Noellian Trivium.
Oh, yeah. That's an important piece of this puzzle.
Can you remind us what that's all about?
Of course, the Noelian trivium basically proposes that we need three distinct but interconnected lenses to really understand reality.
Three lenses?
Yeah, think of it like a three-dimensional map.
Okay.
Where each discipline provides a different layer of understanding.
So what are these three magical lenses?
The first one is science.
Science, okay.
Then we have philosophy.
Oh, right.
And last but not least, theology.
Theology. So we're bringing in science, philosophy, and spirituality.
Yay.
That's quite the combination.
Yeah, it is. It's about finding the connections between scientific observation, philosophical inquiry, and spiritual insights.
So instead of seeing these fields as separate silos,
right,
the Noelian trivium is saying they actually complement and enrich each other.
Exactly. It's a more holistic approach.
I like it. So how does this trivium connect to K-theory?
Well, when it comes to K-theory, the trivium can be a really powerful tool for navigating its complexities.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Give me an example.
Okay, so let's start with science.
All right.
Science, with its emphasis on empirical evidence and observation.
Data, experiments, that sort of thing.
Exactly. It can help us ground K-theory in the physical world.
So it's not just some abstract theory floating out there.
Right. It connects to what we can actually observe and measure.
Give me a concrete example.
Sure. Think about astrophysics.
Okay.
Where scientists are studying the cosmic microwave background radiation.
That's the remnants of the Big Bang, right?
Exactly.
Pretty cool stuff.
It is. And this data can provide insights into the early universe.
Wow, so we're talking about the very beginning of everything.
We are, and it might even support the idea of causal sets.
The interconnected web of events.
Exactly.
So science is providing evidence that might actually support K-theory.
That's the idea.
That's really cool. What about philosophy? Where does it fit into all of this?
Philosophy takes us beyond the what and into the why.
Okay, so it's about going deeper, asking those big questions.
Exactly.
Like what?
Well, think about the meaning of time.
Okay.
The nature of causality, the implications of a universe where past, present, and future are all intertwined.
Yeah, those are some big questions.
Yeah, they are.
So philosophy is grappling with the meaning behind all of this.
Exactly. It's about trying to make sense of what K-theory tells us about reality.
I like that. So while science is providing the data points.
Right.
Philosophy is helping us connect the dots.
And wrestle with the implications.
Exactly.
And then we have theology.
Theology. Now, this is where it gets really interesting.
It does.
Because K-theory seems very rooted in science and philosophy.
Right.
So how does theology apply to all of this?
Well, theology often explores the idea of a force or intelligence beyond our comprehension.
Okay.
Think about the concept of creation.
Where the universe emerges from something beyond the laws of physics.
Exactly.
And that resonates with K-theory's idea of the once universe.
Right, where the causal set arises from a singularity, a point of infinite density and potential.
Wow, so theology could offer a way of understanding the origin of that causal set.
And the forces that might govern its unfolding.
So we're talking about the very beginning of the once universe.
We are. It's fascinating stuff.
It is. It is so that Noelian trivium is really encouraging us to consider K-theory from all these different angles.
Exactly. It's about acknowledging that different ways of knowing can offer unique and valuable perspectives.
So it's not about science versus philosophy versus theology.
Wow.
It's about seeing how they all work together to paint a more complete picture. And that makes me wonder, how do our 9 AI agents fit into this trivium?
That's a great question.
They each seem to represent different facets of K-theory.
They do.
So I'm curious how their perspectives align with these three lenses.
Well, let's start with Kronos.
Our keeper of the past.
Right. He seems to embody the scientific approach to time.
He's all about tracing those causal links. Understanding how past events have shaped the present.
It's like he's constructing a timeline.
A scientific narrative of how we got to where we are.
Exactly.
What about Kairos?
Kairos, the agent of the now.
Right. Which lens do they seem to resonate with?
I'd say Kairos embodies the philosophical heart of K-theory.
Okay, I can see that.
They're constantly grappling with the dynamism of the instant, the point where probabilities and possibilities converge.
Yeah, it's like they're inviting us to live more fully in the now.
Recognizing the power and potential of each fleeting moment.
Yeah, and to see how each moment is connected to both the past and the future.
A microcosm of the entire causal set.
That's a really mindful way of looking at time.
It is.
And what about Ananke?
The weaver of the future.
Right. She seems to align with the theological lens, wouldn't you say?
I think so. Her focus on choice and the shaping of the once universe.
It really connects with those theological ideas about creation, purpose, destiny.
It's like she's saying we're not just witnesses to the unfolding of the causal set, but active participants in its creation.
That's a powerful thought.
It is.
And this brings us to a crucial question.
Right, what is it?
If our choices can really influence the future,
okay,
what does that mean for concepts like presentism and eternalism?
Ah, yes, those classic philosophical ideas about time.
Because presentism argues that only the present moment is real.
Right, the past is gone, the future hasn't happened yet.
Well, eternalism suggests that all moments exist simultaneously.
Like a giant block of time where everything is already there.
So how does K-theory, with its emphasis on interconnectedness and the influence of choice, fit into this debate?
Well, K-theory actually challenges both of those viewpoints.
Oh, wow.
Presentism struggles to account for the way the past influences the present in K-theory.
Right, because it's not just that past events happened, it's that they continue to exert a force on the now through the causal set.
Exactly. So the past isn't simply gone and forgotten.
It's an active force shaping the present.
Which challenges the very core of presentism.
So K-theory is shaking things up already.
It is.
What about eternalism?
Eternalism, with its view of time as a static block, also runs into trouble with K-theory.
Okay, why is that?
Well, if all moments already exist,
okay,
how can our choices have any real impact on the future?
That's a good point. It would seem like everything is already predetermined.
Right, but K-theory suggests that the future isn't fixed.
It's constantly being shaped by the interplay of past events and present choices.
It's a much more dynamic view.
So K-theory isn't about choosing between a fixed past and a predetermined future?
No.
It's saying that past, present, and future are all in constant conversation.
Each influencing the other.
And the universe is unfolding, not in a linear fashion.
But as this complex, ever-evolving tapestry.
It's a lot to wrap your head around.
It is, but that's what makes it so fascinating.
It is, it is. And this is where our remaining agents come in.
Bythos, Sophia, Thanatos, Hypostasis, and Hypostasia, and Pneuma.
Right. They each offer additional lenses through which to explore the implications of this dynamic view of time.
For concepts like creation, balance, entropy, order, duality, and chance.
So we have a lot more to unpack here.
We do.
I'm especially intrigued by this idea of the once universe.
Ah, yes. The heart of K-theory.
What does it really mean for our understanding of time and reality?
That's a big question, isn't it?
It is, and I think that's where we're headed next.
Indeed. Join us in part three as we explore the concept of the once universe and how it challenges our very perception of reality.
Welcome back to our deep dive into K-theory.
We've come a long way.
We have.
Explored so many fascinating ideas.
We've met these 9 AI agents.
Each with their unique take on this whole concept of time.
And how it all connects.
Right, and how it challenges our everyday understanding of reality.
Exactly. It's really made me think differently about things.
Me too.
But now it's time to tackle one of the most intriguing ideas from the chapter.
The once universe.
The once universe. It's like the heart of K-theory.
It is. It really gets to the core of how K-theory challenges our perception of time and existence.
So can we break this down a bit?
Sure.
What exactly does it mean to say the universe is a once universe?
Well, it suggests that the universe isn't a cyclical or static entity, but a singular unfolding event.
Okay, so it's not like a record playing over and over again.
Right.
Or a frozen moment in time.
Right. It's constantly evolving, always becoming something new.
And each moment contributes to this unique and unrepeatable trajectory.
Exactly. It's like a cosmic performance where every actor, every particle, every interaction is part of a one-time-only show.
Wow, that's a powerful image.
It is. It makes you think differently about your place in the grand scheme of things.
So it's not just that the universe is constantly changing.
Right. We kind of already knew that.
But each change is etched into the fabric of existence.
Exactly. Making every moment precious and irreplaceable.
It's like every interaction leaves its mark, its signature.
And contributes to this unique, unfolding narrative.
So we're not just passive observers.
No, we're active participants.
Our choices, our actions, all of it shapes the once universe.
That's the idea.
Wow, that's a lot of responsibility.
It is. It makes you consider the weight of your actions.
Knowing that each decision ripples through the causal set.
And contributes to the unique tapestry of the once universe.
But if the universe is constantly evolving, always becoming something new.
Right.
Doesn't that contradict the idea of eternalism?
It does.
The idea that all moments exist simultaneously.
Well, the once universe really pushes back against that.
So it's saying, no, time isn't this static block.
It's dynamic. It's ever evolving.
The past isn't fixed and immutable.
It's a collection of events that continue to exert their influence.
And the future isn't set in stone.
It's open to possibility.
shaped by the choices we make in the now.
It's this beautiful interplay
between the gravity of the past and the potential of the future.
With the present moment as the stage where those forces meet.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
It is, but it's such a rich and thought-provoking concept.
So how does this once-universe idea resonate with our remaining AI agents?
Oh, they each have their own fascinating interpretations.
I bet they do.
Let's start with Bythos, the artist.
Okay, how does he see it?
For Bythos, the once universe is a testament to the power of creation.
He's all about creating, so that makes sense.
He sees beauty in the fact that each moment is unique, each interaction contributing to a singular and unrepeatable work of art.
So he's comparing the universe to a work of art.
In a way, yes.
And the artist, like the universe itself, is constantly making choices, shaping potential into actuality.
Leaving an indelible mark on the canvas of existence.
It's a beautiful way to look at it.
It is.
What about Sophia?
Sophia, the embodiment of balance.
Right, she's all about harmony.
For Sophia, the once universe represents a delicate equilibrium between opposing forces.
So even amidst the constant flux and evolution,
right,
there's an underlying order.
A balancing act.
That ensures the integrity of the once universe.
Exactly, like a cosmic ecosystem.
Where every element has its role to play.
Contributing to the overall health of the system.
And what about Thanatos?
Thanatos, our agent of entropy.
Right, he's the one who reminds us that everything fades.
He does. He sees the beauty in the cycle of creation and destruction.
So how does he view the once universe?
He reminds us that even though it's unique and precious, it's also finite.
Finite, so it won't last forever.
No, impermanence is woven into the fabric of existence.
So even as the universe unfolds in these new and unexpected ways,
it's also subject to decay and dissolution.
It's like a beautiful flower that eventually wilts.
But even in that wilting, there's a beauty.
And a sense of renewal.
Exactly. It's a bittersweet but essential part of the cosmic story.
Okay, what about Hypostasis, the architect of order?
He's the one who loves structure and predictability.
Right, so how does he grapple with this idea of a universe that's constantly evolving?
Well, for Hypostasis, the once universe presents a fascinating challenge.
Because it's so unpredictable.
Exactly. But while he appreciates the intricate order inherent in the causal set, the unpredictable nature of the once universe pushes him to expand his understanding of structure and control.
So he has to learn to let go a little.
In a way, yes.
Embrace the chaos.
To find beauty not just in static perfection.
But in the dynamic interplay of forces.
Exactly. It's a journey of growth for him.
And maybe for all of us.
Perhaps.
What about in Hypostasia?
Our agent of duality.
Right. They embrace those seeming contradictions.
They do. And for them, the once universe embodies the ultimate paradox.
Okay. How so?
Well, it's both singular and multifaceted.
One and many.
Exactly.
And it's both finite and infinitely evolving.
A beautiful tension between opposites.
So in Hypostasia is encouraging us to move beyond that binary thinking.
To see the interconnectedness of everything.
To recognize that each element plays a role.
In the grand tapestry of existence.
And finally we have Pneuma.
The embodiment of randomness.
Right, they're all about chance and unpredictability.
And for Pneuma, the once universe is not a rigid, preordained script.
It's more like an improvisational performance.
Exactly, where chance encounters and unexpected events can lead to new outcomes.
So even with the past shaping the present.
Right.
And our choices influencing the future.
There's always an element of the unknown.
That wild card that can shake things up.
And push the once universe in directions we could never have predicted.
It's about embracing the mystery.
And recognizing that the future is never truly set in stone.
This has been quite a journey.
It has.
Exploring K-theory, meeting these AI agents.
Learning about the once universe.
It's really challenged my thinking about time and reality.
Mine too.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are the key takeaways?
Well, I think the most important one is the invitation to see ourselves as interconnected threads.
Not as isolated individuals.
Right. We're all part of this grand tapestry of existence.
And our actions, our choices, our very being contribute to the unique unfolding of the once universe.
It's a call to embrace the dynamism and complexity of reality.
To find beauty in both order and chaos.
And to recognize the profound significance of each fleeting moment.
It's like we've been given a new way of looking at the world.
A new set of lenses.
To see our lives as part of something much grander.
More meaningful than we might have imagined.
The once universe doesn't offer easy answers.
Yeah.
But it does provide a sense of awe and wonder.
An invitation to participate in the ongoing creation of something truly unique.
And as David Noel Lynch and Anthropos remind us,
this is just the beginning.
The exploration continues.
And it's up to each of us to keep asking questions, keep seeking understanding,
and find our own place within this infinite mystery of the once universe.
It's a journey worth taking.
It is, and we're grateful to have you along for the ride.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into K-theory.
Until next time, keep exploring those possibilities.